Good way to look at it. I'm going to be in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verses 7 to 11 this evening. And so the phrases that caught me in verse number 7 caught my eye, and so we're gonna work through those. And John says that he is not writing a new commandment. He's not writing a new commandment. But then in verse number 8, he says, again, a new commandment I write unto you. So he says, I'm not writing a new commandment to you. It's an old commandment, but then I am writing a new commandment to you. So I want to focus tonight on the new commandment. John is going to give us an old new commandment. That might seem like a contradiction in terms, but we'll look at it as we go along here, a new commandment. And it's not really new. It might be new to us, maybe if we've forgotten about it or we don't realize this commandment, but it is a new commandment, and we'll look at that this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings toward us. Thankful that we can be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we've already had with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can gather around the Word of God, your Word. We can look into it. We can learn something from it. We can be fed by your Word. We're going to be strengthened in a world of chaos and sin. Lord, we can get some hope from you. We can get some strength from you, from your Word. I pray that you'd be with me this evening, Lord. I'm unworthy to preach to your people tonight. And Lord, I need your help this evening. I don't want to even try and do it without you. It's fruitless. It's pointless without you, Father. So we ask you to, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you to strengthen us by your Spirit this evening. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 7. He says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whether he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. John here is talking about a commandment, and he tells us what the commandment is, and we haven't figured it out yet. It's love. That's the commandment that he's giving there. And loving your brother. You could say loving your brother or sister in Christ. You could expand this to meaning loving your he might have been talking about a Jewish brother. Or we could say anybody that we know. We could say our brothers and sisters in Christ or anyone, our fellow countrymen. We could say that. But the commandment is to love. And he says, I write no new commandment unto you, but then he says, a new commandment I write unto you. Well, Marie Antoinette was the last queen of France, and she said that there is nothing new except that which has been forgotten. Solomon also said that there's nothing new under the sun, so there is nothing that is essentially new, is what she's trying to say there. A lot of people think, well, they have discovered something new. They're going through life and they think, man, we found something that's totally new that no one's ever found before. And it's just a new discovery.
But really, most of the time when they find a new discovery, it's something that has always been there, but they just were unaware of it. And then they found it. So sometimes we forget or unaware of the old, and then it becomes new once again. You ever been driving in your car, or maybe you put a CD in the CD player and you hear that song that you haven't heard for so long, and it used to be a blessing to you so many years back, and you hadn't heard it in 20, 30 years, something like that, and then you pop that CD in there and you listen to it. I remember that song. It becomes new all over again. And it's a blessing to you all over again. But you had forgotten about it. But it's not really new. I mean, it is new now that you're listening to it again. But John is going to give us an old new commandment. The first thing I want you to notice here is John's progression here in chapters 1 and 2. He starts out at the beginning with Jesus Christ is the Word. That was in the beginning, chapter number 1. That which was from the beginning. He's always starting at the beginning, John is. That which was from the beginning, it was the Word of life. And then he talks about God being light and our fellowship with Him. And then he gets into chapter number 2 and he says that we are sinners and we need an advocate with the Father. He starts talking about sin. And then John transitions from sin and goes straight to the source, the root source of sin. He goes straight to the basic commandment that all Christians ought to know, and that's the heart. He goes to love. He's always appealing to the highest source that he can go to. He's always going to the deepest part that he can go to. What is the basis? What is the root of all of these things? He doesn't get preoccupied with topical, superficial, surface-level subjects. I mean, he does talk about those things, but he wants to know what the root is, like we were talking about this morning with Paul. Same thing with God. He wants to know what the root is. I mean, he's not trying to find things out. I'm not saying that, but John always goes to the heart every time. And he says, I'm going to give you an old commandment. The basic thing. The first thing that you ought to know as a Christian is love. And John is talking at the root, or beginning to talk about the root of the Christian faith. And the root of the Christian faith is what? What is it? It's love. It's the heart. That's where it's at. It's love. So this is an old commandment, but we're going to consider it tonight in new respects, new aspects of this old commandment. And I hope tonight that this commandment becomes new to you again. Think, well, I've never considered it in that way. Yeah, okay, new light there. That makes sense. That old commandment has now become new. I want to give you an old commandment with a renewed commission to follow it, to love other people, to love in our society. Maybe the believers that John was talking to here, writing to here, they had forgotten about this. They had forgotten that they were supposed to love, or they had forgotten about love. And John's saying, look, basic thing here, Christianity 101, love the brethren, love your brothers and sisters in Christ. And many times you and I can forget about that. We can forget about the basic things of Christianity, and we can get preoccupied, sidetracked by other things in our Christian life, and we forget about the basic things, and we need to be reminded over and over and over again. That's why you don't leave the gospel. That's why you don't leave the cross. Some people think you need to leave the cross, you need to leave the gospel, go to these other things, and you know, now that we're saved, we go from there to something else. No, you stick with the cross, you stick with the gospel. It doesn't mean we don't explore other things in the Bible, but all of those things go back to the cross. The root of everything is the cross. The root of everything is the blood of Jesus Christ. The root of everything is Jesus Christ. It all starts with Him. It all starts with God. We don't leave God. Human life comes from God. Everything comes from God. So tonight we want to look at three ways the old commandment becomes new for believers. How does it become new? It's an old commandment. We all know it. We all know we're supposed to do it. First thing that we need to do is we need to remember its excellence. It is an excellent commandment. It is the best commandment, and John brings them back to the beginning. In verse number 7, it says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning." The first commandment that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, the first commandment that the children of Israel got in the Old Testament, the basic thing was love, and he wants them to remember something. I want you to remember something. I want you to remember something old. It's a commandment that every Christian ought to know and learn about. You and I, we must be rooted in the basics. That is to love God and love others. It's a basic thing. Rudimentary, basic level. First thing you learn. Probably one of the first verses that you learned as a kid in Sunday school class was God is love, right? First thing you learned about God, God is love. First thing you learned about Jesus Christ, well, God loves me because of Jesus Christ. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. First thing that you learned about, basic thing. Now I'll tell you this tonight, it's not only the basic thing, it's the most excellent, best commandment that there is. If there was any commandment that you could know or that you could strive to obey and you could strive to embody, it would be this one. It would be to love. It's the most excellent commandments of all of God's commandments. And when Jesus Christ was questioned about what is the first and greatest commandment, this is what he said: "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." And the second, and the first, that's the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it: "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." First and second commandments. And he says, on this hangs all the law and the prophets, every one of them. All of the law and the prophets. Genesis to Psalms. Proverbs to Malachi. All of those hang on those two commandments right there. So if you and I could love the way that we ought to love, we'd be fulfilling every commandment that is found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's that excellent. I want you to remember just how excellent that this commandment is. Because we can be sidetracked by other commandments. You think about the Corinthian church. Paul wrote to them, and they were the ones with the spiritual gifts. They were the ones that were bragging about how they could speak in tongues and how they could heal and prophecy and being an apostle and a prophet, a teacher. They were bragging about this and how they were boasting about it and saying, "Well, you know, I'm of Paul and I have Apollos." They'd become sidetracked by all of this. And Paul writes to them in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. He said, "You're bragging about all these things, but let me show you something more excellent. A more excellent way." He says, "Covet earnestly the best gifts, but the more excellent way is what? Charity, love." He said, the best commandment is love. The most excellent way is love. He wasn't introducing them to a new commandment. It was an old commandment, but perhaps it was new to them because they had forgotten about it. And the old commandment becomes new when we remember its excellence. Man, that's an excellent commandment. So Paul warned them in 1 Corinthians about all the things that they were doing. He goes right into 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. He says, "I could bestow all my goods to feed the poor. I could speak with tongues of men and of angels. If I did not have charity, if I did not have love, it's all meaningless. Throw it away. So what? Not without love. Because from love comes everything." That's the root right there. All your giving, all your evangelism, all your prayer ought to come from a heart of love. Do you consider this evening that love is the greatest commandment of all? And perhaps you have moved away from love and you have become sidetracked and you don't think about that anymore. You started thinking about other things. Love has become, well, I've forgotten about that one. You know, sometimes we can start focusing on other things instead of love. And these things can be good things, wonderful things. I mean, we are all commanded to read the Bible, aren't we? We're all commanded to study the Scriptures. We're all commanded to memorize the Scriptures. We're all commanded to do that study to show thyself approved unto God. All of these things, we can quote the Bible backwards and forwards. We know every part of the Scriptures. But we forgot about love. And then we just become puffed up. Because we have all of this academic knowledge, and we have all of the theology down, and we can become cold and calloused and filled up with pride and arrogance towards others because, look, I have all of the knowledge that you don't have. That can happen to Christians. It's happened to me before. Start looking down on people because they don't know what you know. And how stupid of them, they don't know this. And we don't have the love that we ought to have. Hey, and Bible reading is a good thing. What about evangelism? Oh, we are called and we are commanded to go out and evangelize, and we ought to be zealous witnesses for the Lord. Jesus Christ told us, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a commandment that God has given to us. But what if we go out and we witness and we don't have a heart of love for other people? And then we end up becoming a stumbling block to that person that we're trying to win to Christ because we didn't come with a heart of love towards those people. Well, love has become sidetracked. Something else has taken over our hearts. Paul the Apostle said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 15, he says, but speaking the truth in love. I believe all of the commandments are important. But the most excellent thing is love. Do you remember that love is the most excellent thing? I hope that you do. The old commandment will not only become new because of its excellency, but because of its expansion. Have you ever looked at love in different lights or different aspects of love? He says in verse number 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him. This commandment of love is true in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's true in Jesus Christ. Did you know that the old commandment is not defined narrowly? You and I don't get to define what Christian love is. It's defined in Jesus Christ. And John said it is true in Him. So in other words, this commandment of love was fulfilled by Jesus Christ while He was walked on this earth. It's fulfilled in Him. Can I tell you something about Jesus Christ? He didn't do the bare minimum when it came to this commandment of love. As a matter of fact, when He walked around and talked upon this earth, He expanded the commandment of love. But many times you and I want to define what love is in such a narrow way. We have our own idea about what love is and who we want to love and how we want to love them and when we want to love them that we kind of get off track and we're not even using biblical love anymore at all. But this commandment is true in Him. Let me tell you something about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ expanded the principle of love while He was here upon this earth. He said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 43, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you, I'm expanding it. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. How would all of us like to get down on our knees tomorrow and pray for those who are despitefully using us and who hate us and who are our enemies and be kind to them? That's going to be pretty tough, isn't it? That's not something that we want to do. No, what we want to do is we want to take revenge. But Jesus Christ is here expanding on what love is, true Christian love. Jesus Christ again was confronted by a lawyer about this greatest commandment of love. And this lawyer asked Jesus Christ, well, what is the greatest commandment then, Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ again answers him correctly. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know what this lawyer says? Who is my neighbor? You know what Jesus Christ did? He expanded the definition of what neighbor is. He told him exactly who your neighbor is. Can I tell you something? The lawyer did not like his answer. Because the lawyer didn't like Samaritans. And the Jews did not like Samaritans. And he gives him the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he says, the Samaritan is your neighbor. The old commandment is new when it's expanded by Christ and we get a better view of this commandment. And Jesus Christ shows us the depths of love. And He defines it for us. He expanded its meaning and its scope as He taught His disciples. How about you and I? Are we willing to expand on this area of love? Are we willing to go as far as Jesus Christ went in this area of love? Because many times we're willing to love. We'll do it. We'll love, but it's a very narrow scope. I'm not going to go too wide with it. I'm willing to love, but it's only the friends that I kind of like. Other people, I'm not going to love them. Only those people that I like. And the rest of them can just buzz off because I'm not going to like them at all. I'm not going to love them. But Jesus Christ taught us to go above and beyond. Don't just do the bare minimum. Go beyond. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ said, go the extra mile. Go further. He warned His disciples, look, if you're only going to love those that love you, even sinners do that. If you're just gonna show love to someone who loves you back, well, unsaved people will do that. You don't have any reward for that kind of behavior. Christians ought to go further. Disciples of Christ ought to go further. Who are you willing to love? Many times we're willing to love, but it's only for a certain period of time. Well, I will love you for a while until you do something that I don't like. I'm not going to love you anymore after that. I'm going to put a time limit on how long we're going to love. As I'm speaking here tonight, I'm not saying that we have to agree with everything that everyone does in order to love someone. I'm not saying that we have to put our stamp of approval on what they're doing and that's real love. No, we don't have to do that. Love can disagree. Love ought to disagree. Love rejoices in the truth. So we do not agree with everything that everyone does. But do you put a time limit on how long that you love? I've done that before. Guilty. Guilty. Well, I'm going to love you as long as I agree with you. And if you develop some kind of habit or some kind of belief that I don't like or that I disagree with, then that's it, buddy. Cutting you off. I'm not going to love you anymore. Jesus Christ didn't do that. He was hanging on the cross. People that nailed Him to the tree said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said of His disciples that He loved them unto the end. All the way. Even the apostle Peter, who denied Him 3 times. But yet He restored Peter. He loved him unto the end. So we must expand this commandment of love. It becomes new whenever we look at it in a different light. We expand it. Look at different aspects. So what follows a selfless, expanded love? Well, it brings others to God. The way that God brings people to Himself is through other people. It's through the love that we show to other people. And when we don't love the way that our Savior loved, when we don't love the way that our God loves, that brings reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. It brings reproach to the name of God. But when we love the way that we ought to love, it glorifies God. And the world sees our love for others. And God receives the glory. He said, be ye therefore merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. How will all men know that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ? What was the defining characteristic? It was love. It was love in John chapter number 13. A new commandment. The old commandment is new because of its excellency and its expansion, but also because of its expectations. There's going to be some expectations that come with this faith that we have in Jesus Christ. We as believers are expected to love. So faith, true faith, has expectations and it has implications. Something that follows genuine faith is love. There are expectations for us. We see that in verses 9 and 10. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not, underline it, knoweth not whether he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Don't have any love for the brethren. Don't love your brother. John mentions the word saith in verse number 9. You know, we've seen this same theme throughout John, 1 John in chapters 1 and chapters 2 about somebody saying that they have certain things. And here it is again in verse number 9. Chapter 1 and verse number 6. Chapter 1 and verse number 8, 1:10, 2:4, 2:6, and now again in 2:9, he's talking about someone who just says something. They say, yeah, I'm walking in the light. But then you hate your brother? Now wait a second. There's expectations for faith. You have to love your brother or sister in Christ if you have true faith. And he says, he's walking in darkness even until now. So they never were in the light. They're abiding in darkness. They have never obeyed the oldest commandment there is. They have not done the basic thing of Christianity. They're walking in darkness. They have no knowledge of where to go in the area of righteousness. And they are lost. They don't know where to go. What does it say about Christians later on, about true believers in this same book? Verse number 27. Says that we have an anointing within us. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. So we know some things. We know where to go in life. We know what path to take. We know what is true and what is right. We know things. Why? The anointing we have within us. What is that anointing? It's the Holy Spirit of God. So we can discern what false teaching is when it comes our way because of that anointing. So the old commandment becomes new when we embrace those expectations that we have to love one another. You know, before you got saved, you may not have been expected to love all men. You certainly weren't loving God, and you certainly weren't loving Jesus Christ, and you weren't following the Word of God. But now that you are saved, there are some expectations. And it is to love God, and to love His Word, and to follow Jesus Christ, because the old commandment brings expectations. It's not a condition of salvation. It's the natural outflow of faith in Jesus Christ. And those who have faith in Jesus Christ, they love the brethren. So will we love others the way that God has loved us? You know, the Bible says that God loved us even while we were sinners. Even when I was unlovable, God loved me. He didn't love me because I was a good person. No, He loved me even while I was a sinner. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's Jesus Christ dying on the cross, and He's dying for sinners that don't love Him back. So our lives must be characterized by love. That's the expectations. Do you embrace the expectations of love as Christians? We have it this evening. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Our life, the way that we walk, must be characterized by love. He goes on to say, as Christ also hath loved us and given us himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Love is a necessity for all Christians. As we follow God, God is our Father. Then we love because we have been loved by Jesus Christ. Our love for others flows from God's love for us. And so we love others. Our love should mirror that of Jesus Christ. True love does not take revenge. True love is a forgiving love. True love is willing to sacrifice for others. And so the old commandment is going to become new whenever we embrace it. Those expectations that we have as Christians. So I'd challenge each and every one of you to embrace the old commandment. Let it become new to you once again. Don't forget about it. Don't let the commandment become the commandment of love become old and tired and worn out and sitting on the shelf and I don't do that anymore. It's the most important thing that you and I can do. How do we keep it fresh? How do we keep this commandment of love on the forefront of our minds so that we'll flourish in our lives? How do we do that? What do we do? Go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. Where's the beginning? When you first learned about the love of God at the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why the cross always needs to be there. Christianity is meaningless without the cross. You must have the cross. Go back to where you first experienced that love. And then it's going to stay fresh on your mind. Because the world needs to see it. Today, the United States of America, we live in an ungracious, uncaring, unloving society. And it's getting worse and worse by the minute. You know why? Because God is taking His hand of protection and His hand of grace off of people and is showing in our society. And love is waning in our society. People don't care about people anymore. They don't care about things that happen anymore. And the world needs to see love from Christians. They need to see it. That old commandment is unknown to this godless world. So I would encourage each and every one of us to renew our resolve to love. It's the old commandment, but it's still a good one. It's still a good one. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.